Thank you. Be seated, please. I'm John Byers. Let me add my word of welcome to you to worship this beautiful day. We're now launching full into summer's vacation time. People are in and out, but know that throughout the summer, this place is always going to be vibrant and alive and ready to receive you in the name of Christ to speak a word of encouragement and love into your life. It'd mean a lot to me if you'd find the white registration, the connection card in your worship folder. Why? Because we simply want to be connected with you and explore the possibility that this can be a place where you can discover your untapped spiritual potential and live more fully into God's divine purpose for your life. Okay, so this week I've been thinking a lot about fathers and Father's Day. And I wonder if this Father's Day fantasy speaks to any of the guys here this morning. Would you look to the screen for just a moment?
Dad.
Yes, what's up, buddy?
Do you know the Tyrannosaurus Rex? Most people think that it goes 45 or 50 miles per hour. Scientists discovered it goes under 15 miles per hour.
Uh-huh.
Dad?
Hey, Dad.
Dad.
I need 300 bucks for my
Dad?
Prom dress. Is that okay?
Dad.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
you know
thanks.
The Triceratops is the toughest herbivore of the Cretaceous period?
Uh-huh.
Dad,
Dad,
can you please help me with my calculus homework?
Dad?
I'm really stressing out over
Did you know that the Brachiosaurus
Okay, these kids are driving me crazy. When do I get to drive them crazy? Hey, Father's Day.
Brandon. Did you know that from 1938 to 1968, the Federal National Mortgage Association was the sole institution that bought mortgages from depository institutions, principally savings and loan associations, which encouraged more mortgage lending and effectively insured the value of mortgages by the U.S. government?
No.
So, Father's Day. Wanna do anything?
I'm gonna be annoying the kids all day.
Oh. Need any help?
Take a lot to drag me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more can ever do.
Are we there yet?
Oh, there you are. I never got to finish telling you my story from the office the other day. It was so cool. Oh, gosh.
Brandon? Are we there yet?
I'm not gonna bore you with all the details, just most of them. Okay, so anyway. And finally, Jimmy comes up behind me and he goes, "You got the hiccups, man. You know what I do to cure hiccups? What I do is I go, ah!
A staple gun. I need that staple gun. That's it. It comes with free staples. No, the file.
Brandon, give me the file. I want the file. You never get me anything. A skill saw.
Potty break. I gotta go potty. Hey, everybody. I know her, everybody. My daughter.
Don't drive your kids crazy, but have the Father's Day of your dreams.
Brandon. Mm-hmm. Brandon, listen. I was having a bad dream. Can I jump in bed with you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That has absolutely nothing to do with anything I want to say today, except that I really like it. So guys, may I officially declare to you, this is the one day of the year that you have permission to annoy your children if that's what you would like to do. Wasn't it great seeing that guy in the grocery basket picking up everything off the shelf? All right. Happy Father's Day. This morning I'm beginning a new series of messages penned by St. Paul. Paul, the great contributor to the New Testament, spent off and on 6 years of his life behind bars, incarcerated, deprived of freedom and basic necessities. This man who had been against Christ and the church came to a powerful experience of Christ and the church that changed him so dramatically that even in the midst of the deprivation of being in jail, he could not be silenced. Though he was at a distance from those he loved, those he was called to serve, he never gave up offering hope to the people of God. I wonder if for whatever reason, time or distance or some brokenness in a relationship kept you at a distance from those you loved, and you had no other option but to write to them. You couldn't speak, you couldn't text, you couldn't email, but you would have to commit words to paper. What kind of advice or counsel or encouragement would you give to another person? I'm really glad, in a strange sort of a way, that St. Paul was put into prison. Why? Because he had to write letters. Those letters have been preserved, and those letters inspire us. I think back to the Civil Rights Movement, when Martin Luther King inspired so many by his voice in calling people to a new way of thinking. It was when he was incarcerated in a Birmingham jail and could not use his voice that he wrote that famous letter from a Birmingham jail that inspired clergy all over the South to join in the struggle for equality among the races. I wonder if you could not speak, but you could write. What would you say to those you love most? There are four prison letters in the Bible. The book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and the book of Philemon were all written when Paul was in chains, all written as an encouragement to the people. And I'd like for us to look at these four letters across these weeks, and particularly the parts in these letters where Paul says, I pray for you. I encourage you. I exhort you. I lift you up before the Father. This is my heartbeat of love for your life. In this first letter from the book of Ephesians, I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles, and let's share these verses beginning in verse 15. St. Paul wrote, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places." Now, I believe Paul is writing this letter to believers because Paul evidently knew how easy it would become, to become discouraged. I wonder, do any of you face the reality of discouragement in your life? Discouragement about finances, discouragement about your job, discouragement about your intimate relationships, discouragement about your relationship with your spouse, discouragement about your kids, heck, discouragement about the state of politics and finances in the United States of America. Do you know something about the curse of discouragement? Evidently, Paul did, and Paul had to write to his people and say, hey, there's hope in the midst of the discouragement of their life. But what does Paul want his people to know? Here's an insight that I learned from studying God's Word that I'd really never thought about. Paul is concerned that you and I do not waste our time frantically searching for that which we already have been given. And as we look at this text, we're going to see what he's talking about. Instead, Paul is saying, acknowledge what you've been given, accept what you've been given, and apply it to your life. Now, I'm grateful for growing Christians saying to me stuff like, I want to grow more to be like Jesus, and I want to be deeper in His Word, and all of that, that's great. But why can we not just simply stop and apply what we have already been given? And what Paul says we have already been given is supernatural power. Now, I'd like you to look at your Bibles at this, because it's very important that we understand what Paul is trying to say today. In verse 17, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and understanding. That means a deeper personal experience, and that you may know Him better. Now, what does it mean to know Him better? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, the Greek text of that sentence is already completed action. If you are a believer, God has already planted in you the hope of your divine calling, and He has already planted in you the resources to experience that calling. And at the height of this passage, He promises us the power to make it happen. This morning, I want to say a good word about the power of God that already lives in your life and challenge you to acknowledge it, accept it by faith, and most importantly, apply what you've already been given. Warren Wiersbe, a modern pastoral commentator on the Word of God, tells the old story of William Randolph Hearst. There was a time when William Randolph Hearst published nearly every newspaper in the United States. Does anybody remember newspapers? Actually holding a newspaper. William Randolph Hearst read about a particular piece of artwork and decided he simply had to have it. He was an art aficionado and had a magnificent collection. So he sent his agents to scour the great museums of the world to find that piece of artwork and, whatever the cost, bring it back for him to display, only to discover that he already had it tucked away in a warehouse. I wonder how many of us are searching for something that we already have, longing for something that's already been given, waiting for a moment of divine revelation when that moment has already been given to us in Jesus Christ. Paul prayed passionately from prison, but behind the bars, that Ephesian believers, and I believe by extension of the Holy Spirit, all of us, would be enlightened with the truth that God has already planted in you His incomparably great power. And this is my passionate prayer for you too. Do you realize that the power of God lives in you? Now, it's interesting, to show us what he means by power, Paul uses four different Greek words that are all synonymous but have a different aspect to what he means. In verses 17 and 18, 18 and 19, he speaks of the power of God. I want us to explore these four words quickly and then think about how we can activate this incomparably great power of God in our lives today. First of all, he uses the generic word power. In the Greek text, it's dunamis, and we get the literal translation into English, dynamite. Now let's think about dynamite for a minute. All I know about dynamite, I learned from Roadrunner. Do any of you remember cartoons from, way back in the way back? There was always dynamite blowing something up to get Roadrunner and his nemesis. Who was Roadrunner's nemesis? Wile E. Coyote. And dynamite was always used. So all I know about dynamite is what I've seen on TV. So it must be true, right? It's this long red stick with this thing sticking out of the top of it. Now, the neat thing about dynamite is it has all the power, the potential of doing something, but it has not yet been activated, right? It's got the capacity to effect great change, but in its natural state, it remains dormant. So Paul is saying there is unactivated power in your life. And then it's really nifty to study this in the Greek text because he literally step by step goes through how the power can be activated. He says that God uses this power and by faith he works it or exerts it in your life. It is not your power. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't buy it. You didn't pray it up. You didn't conjure it up. It is a gift of God, and God is the spark, the Holy Spirit, if you will, to activate, to exert. In the Greek text, it is the root of our English word energy. That spark, if you will, that first cause, if you will, that enables the dynamite to live into its life-changing power. God's given you by faith dunamis. And if you will invite Him to claim Him, He will be the one that activates the spark. Now, remember in the old days how you set off dynamite? None of this digital madness today. I mean, you had to have the box. Remember in Hogan's Heroes, they were always blowing up the German trains. And they brought out the box with the handle on the top. And just at the right moment when the leads were attached, they pressed down. And as soon as that spark was set, what happened? Kaboom! And the Nazis went off the track. God promises the power. And by faith, He is the energy who activates the power. To be really clear, Paul wants us to understand that the power is not our own. It's a gift of God. So he describes this power as mighty strength. Strength that we understand as humans, but is exclusively credited to God. Mighty in terms of its virile power and strength in its capacity to push against an object that we feel is immovable. If you drive some of the great highways of our country, particularly highways built through mountainous regions of our country, they didn't just happen to find a valley between two mountains. Dynamite was used and applied to what appeared to be an immovable object to clear the way. And so now we can zoom through the Smoky Mountains and enjoy the beauty of nature. Literally using the words of the Greek text, Paul describes power this way: power, mightily, mighty strength exerted. That's God in action. Mighty strength exerted against the immovable forces in your life. So let me ask the question, what are you up against right now that seems absolutely, positively immovable in you? Now, let me use an illustration that I know absolutely nothing about. Going to the gym. Resistance training. Choosing to put yourself under a force that you know is greater than your capacity to move it. But when you place yourself in the position, and often with one, to assist you, get it? To encourage you, get it? To push against the object, to push against the source of resistance, and do that long enough, and guess what happens? Not only is the resistance cleared, but physically speaking, right, Brian? Physically speaking, your body becomes stronger to push harder against the next immovable object. As resistance training strengthens the body, so I believe resistance training strengthens the spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. My great prayer for you, the great prayer that St. Paul prayed for his people is this. I know life is hard. And if you're a believer, you can expect times when life is really, 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 really hard, because you walk around with a target on your back. You are a target of the evil one. It's the truth of the Word of God. Anybody feel like you're a target of the evil one? He has got you in his sights. He calls his barbs fiery darts. We know that the temptation of life will never let up on us. But the truth that we claim, the power of God we claim, is found in 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In that resistance training, why do you guys go to the gym? To punish yourselves? To be defeated? To say, oh no, I can't give up? No. You choose to go to the gym believing that resistance training, Andre, right? Resistance training will make you stronger. So St. Paul says to all of us from a Roman jail, go to the gym. Bring on the temptation. Invite the resistance, because God has already given you the power, His mighty strength exerted. Mighty strength exerted to push against that force, not only to clear it, but to spiritually make you stronger in the process. Do you see that from God's Word here? The reality of resistance, but the power of becoming stronger in the midst of it. Now, probably all of you would say to me, yeah, I agree with that. Sounds good. Right here. But we have a disconnect. It's another silly saying, don't miss heaven by 18 inches. The distance from the head to the heart. It's one thing to accept and acknowledge, but it's quite another thing to actually apply. I'm fascinated that in the letter of St. James, he says about the devil. The devil believes in God, but the devil doesn't believe God. What's the difference? It's my third silly illustration of the day. My stool. It's about the most uncomfortable stool I've ever sat on, but it is my stool, okay? I can intellectually and academically do the calculations And I can intellectually and academically say, I believe that stool could hold me up, all of my goodness and girth. Do you believe that stool can hold me up intellectually? Do you believe that stool? I believe this stool can hold me up. Thank you, great stool, for the promise of holding me up. But I will actually never know the truth of that promise until I do what? Hold your breath, cross your fingers, see if it'll work. Not only do I sit upon it, but I choose to, hang on, I haven't done any abs lately, that I choose to put all of my weight on it. St. Paul long ago had come to academically acknowledge and accept the power of God, but suddenly, being behind bars, he learned to actually apply the power of God in his own life. I want to see if this outline, based on these four Greek words, might possibly help you this week actually apply the power of God in your life by claiming these four words for yourself. And I go ahead and give a note up front. After I wrote it, after I printed it, I decided to change it. How's that? I can pray over it, and then when I see it, 600 of them printed, when I see 600 of them printed, all of a sudden I go, I'm not sure I like that. Number one, I'll give you the corrected version. The number one affirmation for activating the power, applying the power of God in your life is to claim it. God, I thank you that you are for me. I struggled after I wrote, God, that you were on my side, because that means we, they, good, bad, sheep and goats. I believe the Bible teaches us that God is for all of us. Now, we have to accept our acceptance, but that God is for all of us. If God is for me, who can be against me, right? So the first principle, God, I thank you that you are for me. When Jesus was born, the angel gave him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That can be variously translated in the Greek, God for us. God, I thank you that you are for me, ready to help me meet each and every obstacle. You are not alone if you're a believer. Secondly, God, I thank you that your power is never stagnant or out of commission. It is always actively working on my behalf. God's supply of energy is never ending. Thirdly, God, I thank you that you were always fighting against the forces of evil on my behalf. Lastly, God, I thank you that no human strength or spiritual power from the evil world, not even Satan himself, can deter or change your inherent power in my life. The Bible says, speak to the mountain and it'll be moved. I'm encouraging you today, based on the teaching of St. Paul, to face the source of resistance in your life and speak to it. Not that you have the power yourself, but that God chooses to express his power through you. And these four affirmations claim each of those words: power, mighty, strength exerted in your circumstance. Only God's power can change weak human beings into strong believers. I wonder, are you aware of God's power in your life? Or frankly, have you allowed the resistance to overcome you? And right now, if I could really see your soul as God does, you're fighting a cloud of depression or discouragement. You've given up applying the power of God, and you're involved in some things that just aren't right with someone else, with something else. and you've allowed the temptation to overcome you? Are you aware of the power in your life? Here's the good news. Because it was never your power to begin with, you can't lose it. Because it's His power working through your life, all you have to do is apply it. Speak to that temptation. Speak to that resistance beginning today. And see if, like going to the gym, it may seem fruitless at first. But all of a sudden, wow, the feeling, the development, the worth that one feels. I thought about that you could use this to pray for someone that you're at a distance with, maybe because of time or space, or maybe because of some kind of a broken relationship. As Paul prayed for us at a distance, I believe we can use these same principles to pray for others. Think about the person that you're praying for most right now. I'm thinking, this service is being recorded, so I better not say. I'm thinking of a family member, and I'm going to choose not to say his name. But know that I have someone very beloved in my life that desperately needs the power of God. And I'm at a distance from him. But I'm not going to let that distance keep me from praying for him. God, I thank you that you are with my family member, ready to help him meet each and every obstacle. God, I thank you that your power is never stagnant or out of commission. It is always actively working on, fill in the blank, his behalf. God, I thank you that you are always fighting against the forces of evil in his life. God, I thank you that no human strength or spiritual power from evil, the evil world, not even Satan himself, can deter or change your inherent power in his life. First John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world. First John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When Paul was in prison, when Paul was separated from those he loved and called to serve, he never gave up. And he penned the letter to the Ephesians from a Roman jail. He prayed that we would come to acknowledge and apply the power that we already possess. And so this is his prayer, and this is my prayer for you. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, experience, know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. It's time to start clearing some things out of our paths, isn't it? It's time to start pushing against the force that is trying to devour us, isn't it? I invite you today, in the name of Christ, to apply the power that has already been given to you. As we conclude our service this morning, I invite you again to find the white connection card, because here's an opportunity for you to respond to God's word, first of all by internalizing God's word in your life, praying from Ephesians 1:17 that God, the glorious Father, the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, would give you wisdom and revelation, insight, how you can apply his power in your life. An opportunity today to say, I really would like to know Jesus Christ, but I don't. I know about him, but I don't really know him. Can you show me how I can receive him personally as Savior and Lord? I would be so honored personally to lead you to receive Christ as your Savior. Maybe the darkness really is getting you. Maybe you really are stumbling under the weight of temptation. And you could really use a community of faith like ours, loving and encouraging and mission-minded and committed to Christ and to the cross. I'd be so honored to talk with you about what it means to become a member of this great church and to experience the power of being connected with one another in the name of Christ.